Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am your host for today. I'm sitting in for Juanita, your regular host. I am really, really delighted to be speaking on the phone today to Tom Wainick. He is the author of a very new book that just came out called Currencies That Buy Credibility. And this particular book has been published for with Wizard Academy Press. Now, Tom's really an interesting guy, and he's had entrepreneurship tugging at his heart for some time, and he also spent 8 years growing his successful retail clothing business and dealing with his fair share of growing pains, that is for sure. Skins, knees, and all, as he says. And of course, you know, many of us listening to this broadcast will really relate to what he's talking about, especially the skin, knees. And today, as the Wizard Ads partner, Tom's passion and commitment is really helping owner-operated companies in North America and Australia to really grow their business. So this is really important that we do talk to him as well. And hear what he has to say to us small business owners. As an adjunct faculty member of the Wizard Academy in Austin, Texas, he teaches workshops called Fight the Big Boys and Win. And another course is Currencies of Buy Credibility. And, of course, that's the name of his book also. And this particular book teaches you how to accelerate your credibility to drive more traffic, more sales, and, of course, more word of mouth. And don't we all want that? Tom really shares his views in advertising and marketing in his weekly posts on his blog, and you can certainly check online on that, and it's marketingbeyondadvertising.com. Tom is an international speaker with keynote speeches, presentations, and workshops on accelerating your credibility to capture more customers. And I have been a privilege to hear him speak and certainly can attest that he definitely is up there with the well-known keynote speakers. And so now to today's special guest, Tom Wainick. Welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you, Irene. It's my pleasure being here. Thanks for having me.
I'm really thrilled to be on this side talking to you because I've listened to you before and at Wizard Academy, which it's just a really neat business school. And maybe just before we go in any further, while I mention that, why don't we talk about Wizard Academy and your involvement in it and what it really is?
Oh, I'd love to. Wizard Academy is a business school started by Roy H. Williams several years ago. Roy is the author of three books, all bestsellers, called The Wizard of Ads, really a trilogy on advertising. And since then, he's really tried to get out the word of marketing principles and advertising principles and really communication. You know, what's the core of persuading people to do the things that you want them to do? And he uses his school to do just that. And since the school was founded, several other faculty members have come on board to teach what they know, and it has grown really in the past 8 years or so.
And I've had the privilege of taking many courses there, and what I find, Tom, is it's very different. I know that they advertise it as the 21st century business school, and what I find that whatever workshop I do take or course, it's like pushes me to the edge and over, which many business schools don't.
Exactly. And for me, Irene, the most important thing is the school teaches you why something works. It just doesn't say, you know, here, do step one, two, and three.
Yeah.
They teach you principles, and they explain where these principles come from and really explain why. And as a small business owner, that was important for me.
And as a small business owner, for me, too, that is important to know that why. And you mentioned the word persuade, and I just wanted to make it clear that this persuading is not pushing.
And oh, absolutely not. No.
Let's talk about that, because that's really kind of what would go right into your book. And Let's talk about persuasion.
Well, persuasion, as far as my position, is actually begins with the person's felt need. You know, what are they looking for? And this is really true for any business, and that's the start. You know, what is the felt need of your customer that you are willing and able to meet? That's really where persuasion begins. So it's not about using any sleazy tactics or you know, things that are going to trick your customer. That's what this isn't about. The Wizard Academy is not about anything that it has to do with trickery. It doesn't have to do with any type of those tactics. It's about what is convincing to your customer, what is compelling, what is their felt need. And that's really where many of the principles taught at the Academy start, and that's certainly with my book where everything begins. You know, what is the felt need of your customer?
What exactly? And so let's talk about your book. And talk about the felt need. How does a business owner that is just, you know, maybe starting out, has a great idea, feels somewhere in, you know, in their psyche that this is a business that's going to work, but how does this potential business owner find that felt need?
Well, that's the tricky part. It's definitely an art. You know, one of the things that you have to look for really is there something that's causing, you know, pain within that business category? Is there something that customers dislike? For a business that is already established, one of the first places I tell business owners to look or really to ask is those frontline employees, those people who are direct and daily contact with the customer. They're usually hearing the frequently asked questions, the pain. You know, what is uncomfortable? What are they concerned about? What do they fear? Where is the uncertainty? And that's really where one should begin. I find that a great place to look for this information, especially when I consult and go in with a new business, is forums. So if you're consulting somebody who has to do with weight loss, well, go look at weight loss forums and hear what the customer is saying in the language that they speak. That's so important as well. So not only are you looking for the felt need, but look at the language that they use and how, you know, what are they saying, the words, you know, that are meaningful to them.
You know, you're so right, Tom. I've had a motto for quite some time, find the need and fill it.
Exactly.
But, you know, that's, as you say, that's the tricky part. So let's take this a step further. We find the need and we hear what the frontline employees have heard, we hear all that, we feel that we can go further. So now let's take one of the currencies. You call them currencies, which is an interesting metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. So let's take one of your currencies that you talk about in your book, and let's kind of use that as an example for taking that next step.
Okay. Well, we can use an example from the book if you'd like.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, one of the felt needs that I'm drawn to is the idea of in the book I talk about 1 hour heating and air conditioning, which is just a service company. And the makeup of that business category created a lot of frustration, as everyone is aware, with scheduling an in-home service visit. Typically what happens is you call the company, maybe you need some cable installed or you need your heating unit fixed, and they say, sure, Irene, we can make it out on Thursday anytime between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m., which is just such an inconvenience. It's really, you know, what do? Do you take off of work? You know, do you have to get somebody to come into your home and sit there and wait for them? So it's really an uncomfortable situation. It's frustrating. And the business traditionally has taken the position is, well, you need us, so we're going to come when we have time. Well, 1 hour heating and air conditioning was smart enough to realize that was a felt need. Showing up on time was a felt need, because you know they're not going to show up at 8 a.m. It's more likely 5 p.m., and then the job takes a half hour to 2 hours, and you're stuck waiting at home all day. So what 1 hour heating did is they said, look, we'll be on time, or you don't pay a dime. We guarantee that we're on time or the entire service call is free, including parts and labor. And they have built themselves into the number one heating and air conditioning franchise in America by doing just that. It really created a strategy for them.
That's really going over the edge, isn't it?
Yes, exactly, especially in probably in the view of the competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I should say that warranties and guarantees are the most common use of investing currencies in business today. You'll see them invested most frequently, but they're not all equally powerful. You know, most people just attach a guarantee, but guaranteed or what? They don't really fill in the blanks.
Yeah, yeah.
You see, 1 hour did that. They said, this is what you get if we fall short. And it was so convincing, you had no choice but to believe it. I mean, you know, if they just said, look, we're going to be there on time, you go, yeah, right. I've been down this road before.
Mm-hmm.
I know how it ends.
Mm-hmm.
It ends with me sitting there waiting all day for you. But once they say, or the entire service call is free, it changes the game. It completely changes the game. And I guarantee that the competition just scratched their heads thinking, they must be crazy. But it worked. It worked.
So, Tom, this is a service. You know, we're going to use this particular model. And so now this is a service. How about, let's say, you were in the clothing business before. So
right.
Let's now take that, you know, you've got a product. You've got a product that you're selling retail. How can that be then transformed in this type of a guarantee?
Yeah, I tried this with my own business a couple different ways, and this is before I really crafted this these principles.
Mm-hmm.
I was shooting from the hip. I didn't really know why I was going down this road. But one of the first things when I started my own clothing store, and we sold online, and we basically sold workwear like Carhartt and Red Wing boots to blue-collar workers. Well, when you start an online business, one of the biggest fears to overcome from the consumer's perspective is this business credible?
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of them before. See, for a business, you think, okay, I'm going to go online and reach millions, perhaps billions of customers. And, you know, even if I just get a fraction of a percent, that's all I need. Except for when you get there, the consumer says, well, I never heard of you before. How can I trust you? So trust and credibility, especially online, is huge, huge. So when we first started, it was a family-owned business. I came up with the idea, and I'll stick with the warranties and guarantees theme, even though that's the currencies is much, much more broad than that.
Uh-huh.
But just because it was, you know, it's something I experienced, I said, look, what we have to do is we have to guarantee that they like the boot, and if they don't like it, we'll return it, including shipping. We'll take it back.
Uh-huh.
And this really ruffled some feathers within my own family because they thought, you're crazy. Because normally it was, okay, you buy a boot, you have to try it on carpeting. Because if you scuff up the soles and send them back, we can't resell that boot. And it costs us hundreds of dollars usually.
Yeah.
So, you know, the family was looking at me like I was crazy. And I said, well, look, think about the felt need of the customer. They don't work on carpeting unless you're a carpet installer. They work on gravel, concrete, mud, you know, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
They work on it. I said, if we have them walk on carpeting, it's not the same. They need to feel comfortable about the return. So, you know, I really was encouraged not to go ahead, but I decided to anyways. And I can tell you that I had customers calling me saying, the reason I chose you over someone else was simply because of that guarantee.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, it really worked. It just spoke to the felt need. Again, everything is context. What context are you talking about? So I identified a felt need. I saw what the competition was not doing. You know, status quo was 30 days. Or I'm sorry, 30 days on carpet. And, I just decided to change it up.
Well, and, you know, and the response that you got was, you know, the trust, they trusted you. It was something that was then put back into the ball basically was put in back into their court, and they were controlling it. And that's really important for the customer to understand that they have the manageability of it.
Yeah, it really is. And that's actually another currency, Irene, power and control.
Yeah.
Giving up control and letting your consumer pull the strings a little bit. and it's very difficult for business owners to do.
Oh, there's so much fear.
Exactly.
I mean,
but that's really when we talk about authenticity today.
Yeah.
Transparency. Well, it's all about letting go of power and control and seeing yourself real.
Yeah.
And that's so important these days.
It is important. Let's talk about authenticity. And as a business owner, what points can you give us that we can really come across as being authentic besides giving that warranty? And maybe we can talk a little bit, about giving up the power and control that was so prevalent, 10 years ago, it really worked.
Yes.
But now it's, we want our customers want that relationship with us. They want to know more about us. Who are we? They want that relationship. So let's talk about how we get to that relationship, how we get to that authenticity.
Yeah, it starts with giving up the plastic-coated happy talk. We're the best. The mental image I like to think of that most of us have of a business owner, especially a corporation, is they're wearing gray flannel suits, tie. They're very professional. They stand up straight and they put a spin on everything that they say.
Mm-hmm.
Spin it back to our favor.
Mm-hmm.
And giving up power and control is really about authenticity. It's about letting go of the things that you're embarrassed by, things that are uncomfortable truths, as I talk about in the book, and really allowing your customer to see you real. And the best suggestion I can give is look at those things that you're afraid to share with your customers. Maybe you're even keeping from your customers intentionally, and really have the courage to stand naked in front of them and let them see that. And that's extremely powerful because they think, wow, if you're sharing that with me, you've got it. You've got it. Incredible.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We are speaking today with author and business workshop facilitator Tom Wainick about his recently published book, Currency That Buy Credibility. And you can find more about Tom and his book and all kinds of information on his blog, Marketing BeyondAdvertising.com. So what would be one example of being authentic? How can I, as a business owner, what would be one thing that I can share with my customers?
That's a great question. I hate to bring this up, but it really depends on the context of what we're speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
I think in general, most businesses can go to maybe their about page on their websites and start there and really start looking at the language that they're using and be real with the customer there and just write in a really natural conversational tone and maybe even admitting mistakes a little bit more. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. We're not perfect, and customers appreciate you being upfront with them. Even going back to my own business again, we didn't ship something out on time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Best thing that we could do, and we've discovered this very quickly, was to say, look, we made a mistake.
Yeah.
we're very sorry. And it really created a bond with the customer. It created that credibility and trust. And in the book, there are a couple of examples, too, of how you could actually give up power and control and increase your bottom line.
And that is, I know, for many owners, that's one of the most curious thoughts because, you know, in our minds, and you know, this has been instilled in us in many business schools and, you know, for generations, that, you know, you are the manager, you are in control, you know, you don't give up at that control. But what you're saying is exactly right. And there, again, it's that creating that relationship and being authentic.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, I have a client that was an IT department or IT company in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways they gave up power and control, I recommended it to him because we were sitting there talking and he's like, you know, the thing about IT is there's this fear of the business that you're never going to get a hold of us. You're going to, you know, you're going to get some big conglomerate and you're going to get stuck in the, you know, customer service line talking to a machine. He says, it's not like that with us. You can actually call me if you need to get a hold of somebody. I said, oh, really? You're willing to do that? And he said, absolutely. So he now publishes his cell phone number on the marketing material and, you know, on the website saying, look, if you need to get a hold of me, here's my cell phone number.
Yeah.
Well, that's giving up power and control. That's saying, look, let me prove it to you.
Mm-hmm.
This is how much I mean this, that you can actually call me if there's a problem.
You know, that's a really good point that you just brought up, Tom. Many times I've gone to sites, and what I look for is, you know, who are these people? And especially if it's somebody new that I haven't heard of them. And I go to their About Us page, and there's nothing there.
Exactly.
I don't have a clue who they are, where they are. Is this a group of people? Is this one person? Is it, who is it? But yet, you know, the front page looks like they're very credible. They want my business. But there's, I can't create a relationship with them. I don't know who they are. Or even if they're authentic or if they're, you know, if it's a scam or not.
Irene, that's a great observation. I work on a lot of websites, and that is one of the biggest mistakes that most businesses make.
Yes.
Is this failure to let go and put authentic, candid photographs of the staff up there.
Yes.
Think, this is who we are.
Yes.
And to maybe have some fun with the About section.
Yeah.
The other thing is they want to hide the phone number, thinking, well, this is low maintenance for us. Let's just put in a contact form or an email.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I suggest with websites, throw that phone number in the upper right-hand corner of the top of every page.
Mm-hmm.
Have it there. You're not Amazon.com. In most cases, you're not.
Yeah, right.
You know, they're hiding their phone number for a reason.
Yeah.
We can't afford to do that.
No. As small business owners, we can't. We want to
show,
you know, and that could make or break the deal.
Exactly.
You know, if the customer is looking at mine and at yours and you have all the information there, the contact information, the guarantees, everything, I'm hiding all that, they're not going to come to me. And
that's
so,
right.
You know, that to me is where the competition is. It's not in the product, but where the competition is, and we always have to be upfront with our information is there. You know, who are we?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
don't be afraid to put that up there. You know, on that real quick, I back in the mid-90s, I worked for Moen, the faucet company.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple years in, they started really pushing the web and creating websites. You know, this was all new back then.
Yeah.
And I remember the customer service department revolted when they found out they wanted to put everyone's picture online. I mean, it was just this big fear.
Yeah.
And Irene, I tell that story because I think it's carried over still today. I work with clients that they say, well, you know, we wanted to put some fun pictures up, but the president thought that was a bit corny. Nah, let go. Stop being so controlling. Let your personality come out because that really makes a connection. And if you're willing to do that, it's a credible gesture to your customer.
It's very, and you know, me as a consumer, I'm putting myself in two different places here, but me as a consumer, looking at somebody's picture, I mean, all of a sudden, it's like I've got that relationship with them because now I have a face to the name.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah, because especially online when it's just a bunch of pixels.
Right.
That's really what it is. I mean, we're looking at a bunch of pixels on the screen.
Yeah.
And when you walk into a store or you walk into a service business, it's easy to make a connection.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you hire good people, you have people right there in the brick and mortar. Online, it's a different story.
And so that's why it's important to get that online business, the web page, the storefront, whatever, being very much like a personable, like you would walk in there, you know, in real life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So there again, now we've talked about two currencies and you do have six, and I think that what I would like to do is just kind of leave it at that and have our listening audience just really kind of concentrate on the two that we talked about, but know that, you know, there's a need to buy your book, and that's like a felt need you were talking about, because there are four more that are just as important as the two that we talked about. And, you know, I looked at this book and I read it and it's like, whoa, small book, extremely powerful message, extremely powerful.
Thank you.
So I just, I'm going to talk a little bit about what you do, and I think you had mentioned, or it was in your bio, I can't remember now, but what is the difference between marketing and advertising?
Well, marketing really is it encompasses advertising. Advertising is more or less a tactic. Marketing has to do with starting off with basic principles. It really talks about the relationship between the business and the customer. It has to do with all things like collateral materials, advertising, PR. That's marketing. It's an umbrella. Advertising is just one of those tactics you can use in your marketing arsenal. So that's the difference between the two.
And let's throw in publicity.
Mm-hmm.
How does that fit in?
In as far as marketing?
Marketing, uh-huh.
Yeah, publicity is part of it. You know, for a marketer, it's how to drum that up, which is extremely difficult, you know, because you're dealing with a lot of times you're dealing with a newspaper editor or some type of other editor that you're trying to get something published, shine a light on the business. And that's very difficult to do because, again, they have felt needs.
Yeah.
In this case, they're the customer. And what they write about in their publication isn't exactly what they're passionate about all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they're writing about business, but they're really passionate about music. So, you know, trying to get publicity is really a challenge. It's definitely an art form.
It is. And you mentioned again that felt need, and us as business owners, if we're going to be if we want to do publicity, if we're going to do advertising, there again, we have to look for that felt need.
Oh yes,
yeah.
It you know, if I say, you know, I know we talked about currencies and investing and to buy credibility, but really, the most important thing I can say today is you must be able to articulate felt need
mm-hmm.
of who you're communicating with. And you have to identify it. You have to be able to speak to that felt need, or else it just, communication falls apart. It's the foundation.
Yeah. And then it's like, you know, you keep spinning your wheels because your business isn't going anywhere. But there again, the reason is because you're not, the business is not filling that need.
Yeah. You're probably, my partner Roy H. Williams like to say, "You're answering a question no one really was asking."
uh-huh.
That's a great saying, you know.
And there's another one that I need to paraphrase it, and I hope I get that right. Is how does that go, Tom? Who gives a damn on the the meter? Help me out. Moving the meter.
Yeah, moving the needle on the who cares meter.
That's right. Well, it kind of puts it a little bit more like who cares, it gives a damn meter.
Yeah, that's right. But in essence, what he's saying is, look, it's not about you. It's about the customer.
Yeah.
What need are you speaking to?
Yeah.
And again, we talked about this. It's not only mm-hmm. Finding that felt need, but once you find it, is communicating in the language that they use.
Yeah. And that's what your currencies is all, you know, when you talk about currencies that buy credibility, that's exactly what that's all about. So,
now,
You know, one thing I didn't ask you, like, why did you write this book? What inspired you? I know that you do have a workshop with this, but what's the inspiration behind it?
The inspiration is really two things. First is my experience in business. And the biggest challenge for me, and I think for any business owner, is persuading customers to come in through the door, to you know, pick up the phone, to send an email. That was the hardest part for me. So that was one. And so that sent me on this, wow, what persuades people to take action? But then I started reading about signaling theory in biology, and that's really the foundation for the book. And signaling theory explains how animals communicate using these seemingly bizarre behaviors and physical traits. And they use these behaviors and physical traits to communicate with honesty and trust. And that got me thinking, wow, I could take those and apply those to business very easily. And that creates a principle for what we're trying to achieve with credibility.
Yeah, and there it is in a powerful book. So, everybody is not going to benefit from this book because for whatever reason. However, let's talk about the ones that will benefit. Who do you suggest? Because those are the, you know, we're going for the felt need.
I like to say any business that doesn't own a monopoly can benefit. Because, I mean, when you think about it, who does own a monopoly? If you own one, why invest something? Why waste your resources to prove that you're credible? But any business could really benefit by speaking more credibly with their customers. Now, specifically, when we dig down deep, who's going to, out of that group, who's really going to benefit the most? Right-minded marketers, the type of marketers that want a long-term relationship with their customer, the type that don't believe in short-term gimmicks and sales and, tactics. That's the type of marketer or business owners that's going to benefit, the people that want to take a long-term branding approach and develop a relationship.
And, you know, something that comes to mind, and there again, this is something I've learned at Wizard Academy, was that to be willing to lose that customer, you know, finding that felt need, but really working with a customer that is willing for you to work with them, or to sell to them, or to service them, or to provide the product, and be willing to lose the ones that are going to be bucking it.
Exactly, and there's a couple good examples in the book that talk about choose who to lose. And, you know, you're not going to arm twist everyone into buying from you.
Yeah.
So why try?
Yeah. And
because when you do, you just dilute your message. And for years, that's exactly what I think the American car companies did in the 90s, 80s and 90s, is they tried to create these cars that just try to appeal to everyone, and that doesn't work. Take a chance, go out on a limb, find the customer and that really you're speaking to, and understand you're not going to speak to 100% of them, because you can't speak with passion by diluting your message.
You know, that's so true, Tom. We work with a lot of authors, on our interviews, and I just, it amazes me how many people have written books to the general public, and it's really difficult to get through to them that there isn't such a thing as general public. Everybody isn't going to like that book. Everybody isn't going to resonate with it or move that meter.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right, Irene.
It's so important to focus on what it is, who you're selling to, who you're writing to, who you're marketing to, who you're servicing, really.
That's right. And it really gives your business personality.
It really does. Well, gosh, Tom, this has been an incredible interview. I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to talk. So as sort of a closing, do you have anything to say to our listening audience that would just kind of like, whoa?
I would say without a doubt, credibility requires an investment that goes beyond words. And that's what this book is about.
Yep.
Taking your investment beyond words and being more credible with your customers.
Wow. You know, that's the bottom line. That is such a bottom line. And I'm so glad again, Tom, that I had an opportunity to speak to you. And listeners, you can find out more about Tom and his book, Currencies That Buy Credibility, on his blog, and that is marketingbeyondadvertising.com. And I'm going to repeat that because this is a really important blog for you to check out. marketingbeyondadvertising.com. And just check it out because there's just all kinds of things. And, of course, you can get the book there. And I read it. I wanted just to attest to it, but I read it and I reviewed it. And, gosh, there's so much I learned from it, and I got so many ahas. So, again, Tom, thank you very much for taking the time to spend with us and just giving us some points and some hints and some insight into your book. And it's been a real pleasure.
Irene, it's been a pleasure for me as well. Thank you for having me.
And thank you. And listeners, I'm your host, Irene Watson, sitting in for Juanita Watson. And thank you for listening. Bye for now.